Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Scott Kleinberg is off this week, but technology journalist Andy Anatko is with us. He used to read him in the Sun-Times. He's all over the place with his good advice and information on high tech. And we got a lot of interesting things to talk to Andy about this morning. Andy, I love the story you've been looking into about these businesses and Google's search algorithm. And what this is about is... You have businesses naming themselves something like Pizza Near Me, and tell us how that works and why they're doing that.
Yeah, it's hysterically funny. I first noticed this 2 years ago when, like, I started seeing these lawn signs, like, near my neighborhood saying, driveway seal coating near me. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. They're trying to establish that, oh, well, we're a neighbor, we're a local business, you're supporting the community. Then I realized that, no, they're just trying to game, like, Google search results. Like, when you go into Google Maps, so that, hey, if we name our business, like, Thai food near me or pizza near me or driveway seal coating near me, that'll be, and people search for exactly those words, so we'll be number one in the search results. But that's happening all over, like every single business you can name, companies are actually naming their businesses this way. It's funny, however, it really doesn't work because, you know, Google is on to you. It's a very, very sophisticated recommendation algorithm where they're not just going to return the name of that business. They're going to parse it as, again, pizza near me, as, okay, let's get a look at all of the different pizza restaurants that are near this person's location. Which ones have, like, an active business profile, meaning the business has been updating their listing, saying, here's what our hours are, here's what our menus are, which of these pizza restaurants are being recommended by other sites like Yelp and review sites. It's a whole bunch of things. So it's really, really sophisticated. Google search tries to be really, really good at giving you really good search results. So I'm not going to be fooled by something like that.
So it's not working then. If you name your business Bob's Hot Dogs Near Me, that won't work for me?
No more than if you name, like, your cereal, like, best top quality ground beef.
They're on to it. I get it.
It works to the sense that actually it's a memorable name, believe it or not. There are a lot of, like, a lot of these names actually show up on social media, and I'll admit that I only know the name of one driveway seal coating company, like, operating within 10 miles of my house, and it is driveway seal coating near me. So, okay, there is some sort of a win there.
Yeah, exactly. The Department of Justice's antitrust trial against Google is going into its final week, and I know because of this we've learned a lot about the inner workings of quite a few companies, haven't we?
Absolutely. Google is facing two really huge antitrust trials from the Department of Justice. This is the first of two of them, and it's probably the weaker of the two. This one has to do with how they operate Google Search, their Google Search business. And by the numbers, you would think that, yes, this is absolutely like an antitrust thing because they own 90% of the internet search business. There is effectively no competition for Google Search. So the Department of Justice plus like about three dozen states' attorney generals got together to file this antitrust action. The trial they've been doing 2 years' worth of discovery and depositions. The trial started about mid-September. And as you say, it's a really, really big deal, chiefly because the number of witnesses that have been called and the number of witnesses that have been deposed is a who's who of the top executives at Apple, Microsoft, Google, Mozilla, every operator you can think about. And they've had access to pretty much every single internal document related to how any of these businesses relate to Google. So it's a very, very rare time where technology journalists like me, we're no longer basing on supposition. We're not basing on stories that we've been told by people who are speaking off the record. We actually see the emails of when Google was negotiated, was having conversations with Apple, when the CEO of Google was talking to the CEO of Apple about how they're going to be interacting with each other on iPhones. This is the actual conversation that they had. This is the email that they had. And here is the slide deck that inside Apple they'd used to discuss with each other, like how the negotiations were going. So it's really, really, this is catnip.
Yeah, interesting stuff for sure. We're talking with technology author Andy Anatko, and artificial intelligence is coming to the photo apps on our smartphones, or is it here already, Andy?
Oh, this is really, really great stuff. The sort of AI-based image generators that last year they were just like they're fun demos, but they're kind of hard to use and they're not really relevant to how people use like photos and imagery. They're starting to become built into the phones that people are buying. Google's new phone can do some really sophisticated photo editing that would normally have required like a half hour to an hour of work from an expert who has access to like $1,000 worth of software. They have a new one where like have you ever been in this you're at the wedding, you have this great group photo of like you're the only photo you've ever gotten of like all of your brothers and sisters together, really, really great, but there's one loser in the middle of them that like you don't know, but that was part of the group.
Yeah.
And you would love to delete that person and like scrunch the people together, and that's something that now like the built-in photo editor can do stuff like that. It will erase that person, it will fill in whatever the background remains, it will generate AI to make it look absolutely perfect. I'm talking about like absolutely perfect, and then you can grab those other two people and slide them over and fill in the gap. And that is I love it when that kind of a power gets into the hands of everybody, not just people like me who are just, you know, photography nerds and tech nerds.
You know, I've seen my wife fixing pictures and brightening the photo and framing it. But what you can do now is taking it a step beyond that. Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's if you go to the desktop apps, the new version of Photoshop, which you can have for like $10 a month, if you just want to use it for a month, it'll cost you $10. I'll try to make this short, but my favorite example of this was I took a selfie of myself with my late father like 25 years ago. I was showing him like the first time he'd ever seen a digital camera. Okay, I say, oh, it's great. You see the picture instantly. So I just turned the camera around, hugged him, took a selfie, then turned it around again so you could see the picture like on the screen. But it happened to be like the best photo we've ever taken of each other. It's exactly how I remember him. And because I was shooting blind, his face is completely in the frame. Like a third of like my head is chopped off, but okay, whatever, it's still a great picture. So I went into Photoshop. I simply imported this photo from 25 years ago and said, extend the frame off to the left. And the artificial intelligence generated the missing part of my head.
Wow.
Okay. You see the side of my head, you see the hat I'm wearing, my shoulder and everything. And this one, well, this was big. This is a big operation. So it wasn't perfect, but it was at a point where with just maybe 20 minutes of tweaking, I got it so that it really did look like it was part of the original photo. And that's the sort of stuff I love. The things that might have caused people to throw out a picture because, oh, well, geez, there's a guy in a party naked T-shirt in the background. I don't want that. Yeah. Oh, the exposure was wrong, just like your wife fixing photos that way. You can keep these things and actually preserve them. And like I said, I'm just so thrilled that all this stuff is now available to everybody, not just someone who, in my case, that picture would have taken days to fix and probably wouldn't have looked very good.
So will that be available on iPhones as well?
Probably not too far from now. Now, Google has a much better investment in artificial intelligence than Apple has. Apple is just starting to get on the horse when it comes to AI. But I'm sure that you're going to start seeing this first in third-party apps, like the apps from Adobe and other companies that you install on your phone. But then, again, this just like you can adjust the brightness, the contrast, the tone, whatever, just by pushing some sliders around in the built-in photo app, I'm sure that more of these features are going to become mainstream, just sort of what you get for free with the phone.
That's crazy. I have a minute left here, but I wanted to get your take on what's happening with the self-driving taxis out in California. It's kind of a disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. I'll be brief. So basically, GM has this fleet, this company called called Drive. They were operating in San Francisco and some other cities. It was such a problem in San Francisco that after an incident in which, unfortunately, a pedestrian got hit by a car, was run over by one of GM's self-driving taxis. The taxi did not notice it and dragged this person 20 feet.
Oh.
That caused California to simply say, okay, guess what? Your permits are pulled until you explain this. Because it was just the tip of the iceberg where they'd all, one of the biggest problems with GM cars and also Google's Waymo cars, but mostly GM, was that like they were blocking emergency vehicles. They were like ignoring instructions they were blocking intersections. They were causing all these huge, huge problems. And they were kind of failing to begin with. And this is despite the fact that every 3 or 4 miles, these self-driving cars required a human intervention from the office back in GM to get things going again. So GM has decided that after making all this talk about, oh no, we're gonna tenfold our fleet, we're gonna expand to other cities, we're gonna move really, really fast, and who cares about regulations? Now they've pulled all of their 400 self-driving taxis all over California and all over the country because they have to step back, regroup. This is a much, much, much harder problem than anyone might have imagined 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when everyone thought that, oh, Uber is no more. No one will ever have a car with a steering wheel anymore because cars will always be self-driving. It is a very, very, very difficult problem, and I don't think it's going to be solved unless a huge revolution in the technology happens very soon.
Doesn't sound like it. Technology journalist Andy Anatko. Appreciate it, Andy. Always interesting and informative chatting with you.
Thanks,
Bob. Take care.